You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
Amen. All right, we're going to jump in to God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we are finishing our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the title of this morning's message is this: The Unfailing Permanence of Love. The unfailing permanence of love. We've looked at the indispensable priority of love a few weeks ago. And we've looked at last week the undeniable power of love. And today we wrap up our study by looking at the unfailing permanence of love. Before we read the text, I want you to remember the aim and the intentional purpose of this series at this time. It was to prepare us for authentic gospel impact this Christmas, not only this Christmas, but beyond, but particularly with all that's before us and the opportunities that are before us this season. We're not interested as a church, I hope you agree with me, in we're not interested in going through the motions, right? We're not interested in checking off boxes for the sake of checking them off. We are interested in gospel-centered, Spirit-filled, a Holy Spirit-anointed ministry and impact. And that's what we're praying God does as He prepares us through 1 Corinthians 13 with this indispensable priority, this undeniable power of love. And we're going to look at the permanence of it right now. So take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and the ushers would love to put a copy of God's Word in your hand. If you don't own one, take that home, please. It'll be our gift to you. Please read it and have your life changed by it. I'm going to read from verse 1. We're going to break down verses 8 to 13, but I want to give you a bit of the context by reading from verse 1 of chapter 13. In my Bible, it's labeled the way of love. This is what Paul says to the church in Corinth. He says this: "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." This is where we're going to start today. Verse 8, now, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Oh, how I pray God fills us with love. Oh, how I pray, and as we'll pray tonight together, that God fills us with love, because as we saw the first week, love is the indispensable priority of the Christian life. That we can do all kinds of amazing things this Christmas. We can give lots of money. We can do all kinds of acts of service, but without love, Paul says, we are nothing. It is just unbelievable. God, fill us with love. I pray you're praying that as well. But this is where I want us to start for this morning as we break down verses 8 to 13. I want you to write this down. If we want to give and gather and go with authentic impact this Christmas, we must know the difference. Write this down. We must know the difference between the temporary and the permanent. We as a church can't be confused about this. We must know the difference between the temporary and the permanent. Notice verse 8. Paul says, love never ends. And then he says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. I want us to remember the context of what Paul is saying here in case you're joining us for the first time in this series or just to refresh your mind. Remember that all throughout this entire chapter, Paul has been contrasting two things. He's contrasting spiritual gifts and love. Remember also that the Corinthian church was a strong and vibrant and gifted church, but don't forget they were also a very divided and dysfunctional church. And in many ways, their dysfunction and their division, it can all boil down to this one thing called pride. The Corinthian church that the Apostle Paul was writing to was proud of themselves. They were proud of their vibrancy as a church. They were proud of their strategic influence in the strategic city of Corinth. They were proud of their spiritual gifts, gifts like speaking in other languages, gifts like the gift of prophecy or the gift of knowledge. They were proud of themselves. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul moves away from his discussion on spiritual gifts that he begins in chapter 12 and he continues in chapter 14. Paul moves away from his discussion on the spiritual gifts for a moment so that he can put some important things in order. He wants to commend a better way to the Corinthians. There's a better way than boasting in those things that are temporary. Your spiritual gifts, there's a better way. He calls it the way of love because one of the fatal errors of the church in Corinth was this. They had things backwards. They had things out of order. Their priorities were out of order. They were focused on outward behaviors and not so much on the heart. They had things out of order. They were focused on the externals and not on the inward transformation of the heart. They had failed to recognize essentially the fundamental difference between what was a temporary and a means to an end and what was permanent and eternal, that which would never end. Now, Paul is making the case that the things that you're banking your spiritual maturity on, your spiritual gifts, your resources, your abilities, those things are temporary outward things. Those things will pass away. But the thing you're failing to focus on is the thing that matters the most is the attitude and the posture of the heart, that the attitude of love is missing in this church. And that's the most important thing because he says in verse 8, that will never end. Love never ends. There are eternal implications to the heart that loves and that loves genuinely and sincerely. And because of this spiritual blind spot in the church in Corinth, they boasted in lesser things. They reveled in temporary things. They emphasized that which would eventually pass away, all the while neglecting the true and genuine marks of spiritual maturity. Now, this is really important for us because I wonder how many times we as believers, miss the point, and we fail to identify the difference between those things that are temporary and for a time and those things that are permanent and eternal. It's really important. I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 8. Paul says, a love never ends. I like how another translation puts it. It says, love never falls apart. He's making the case for the permanence and the durability and the primacy of the attitude of the heart, which is a love. That love doesn't fall apart. It stays put together. Love doesn't get fractured into pieces. It stays intact. It endures. It is long-suffering. Its nature is eternal. Love never ends. And this is so important as we consider that the church in Corinth was focused on those things that wouldn't endure, the things that were temporary. Look at it in verse 8 again. He says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. They're temporary. As for tongues, they will cease. They're going to stop because they're just temporary. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Here, Paul is flipping their mindset upside down. He's saying essentially, here's the reality, church. The very things that you think are the marks of your spiritual maturity, prophecy, speaking in other tongues, knowledge, they're all temporary. And by the way, they're not for your glory. They're for the building up of the church. You're forgetting that important fact. And they're to edify and build up the church for now. For now. He goes on in verse 9, notice it. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, this is insightful, particularly for those of us who are learned, who love to study, who love to understand theology, who love to grow in knowledge. That is wonderful. It is good. Paul says, we know in part now in this life. What we know in part. Another translation say, we know part by part or piece by piece. The idea is that our knowledge and our giftings, even our prophetic proclamations in this life, they're not whole. We're just grasping on. We're trying our best. We know in part, piece by piece. They're fragmented pieces that we're trying to put together. Why is Paul saying this? He's saying this because the Corinthians had such an inflated view of themselves. The Corinthians had such an inflated view of their knowledge and their gifting. And Paul looks at the Corinthian church who is banking their spiritual maturity on their spiritual gifts, those things that are temporary. And he says, the things that you're boasting in, they're just little pieces of knowledge, just little things that you're trying to put together, and they're all going to pass away. You're boasting in the temporary. And as you boast in your knowledge, you just know in part. You don't know fully, completely. Well, it's humbling. It's humbling. One day, these spiritual gifts will no longer be needed. Notice verse 10, he says, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, we fumble around with our spiritual gifts. Why are you boasting in this? You're just fumbling around, doing your best, but you're just fumbling around. All of that is going to pass away. But when the perfect comes, the partial, all of that partial stuff, it will pass away. Now, there's some debate here, but what I believe is clear is that Paul's referring to the day of Christ's return. I believe that's clear in the text. The perfect is referring to Christ and his return. He is perfect, and he's contrasting here the temporal nature of spiritual gifts with the permanent nature of love. He's contrasting the imperfect way with which we see and serve now with the perfect way with which we will see and know on the day Christ returns. That there is a day that is coming. There is a day that is coming where we will see more clearly, we will know more fully than we know now. So Paul now says, why do you boast in the partial? Your partial knowledge, you're fumbling around with your spiritual gifts. None of you are perfect. None of these things are perfect. They're temporary. They're for a time. They're for now. But love never ends. Love goes on. Love is durable. the attitude of your heart, the indispensable priority that needs to be under everything you do with your giftings. It's missing, and therefore everything you do is nothing. You're missing the point. You don't know the difference between what is temporary and what is permanent. There's a far better way, Paul says. There's a far better mark of spiritual maturity that you've completely abandoned. It's the way of love, and it's permanent. Loved ones, do you know the difference between what is temporary in this life and what is permanent? Do you live your life with an understanding, with a conscious awareness when you wake up in the morning that the things that you will pursue, that you're aware that these things that I'm doing right now, particularly maybe, these things are temporary, but do you take time to invest in and understand and recognize the difference between what is temporary and what is permanent, what is for here and now and what goes on for all eternity? We talked a bit about that with our Christmas offering and our giving. This season we can give and do all kinds of things that are just temporary. Or we can identify that there is a difference between that which is temporary and that which is permanent. I look at my own heart so often, I realize with sadness how often I fail to make the necessary distinction. In fact, I just want us to do a little exercise together. I want you to think really deeply. I'm going to bring myself into this as well, and I want you to consider, as I consider, as we all consider together, what matters most in your life, and then contemplate, is it temporary? He's getting at the deep motive behind everything you do. Am I working for what is temporary? Or am I working for what is eternal? How well do I preach, or how well do I treat my wife? That's how I can think about it. Am I focused on my gift to teach and what is temporary? This is going to pass away. One day I'm going to be out of a job. Praise the Lord, we'll be in heaven. It's passing away. But what doesn't pass away is the motive of my heart towards my family. Love, it endures. Love endures. Think about this. How much do I focus on how much do I give, or do I focus on how cheerfully I give? See, there's a difference. Do I focus on how passionately I sing in church, or how passionately I sing at home when no one's around? Do I know the difference between those two? Do I focus on how eloquently I speak in my small group, or am I more concerned with how consistently I pray for my small group? There's a difference between those two things. Here's the difference. One deals with gifting. The other deals with the heart. Well, one deals with the outward manifestation. The other deals with the inward transformation of the heart. One deals with public displays. The other deals with private devotion. One deals with the temporary that will one day pass away, verse 10. The other deals with the attitude of love that will not pass away, but will endure forever. It's just amazing as we look at our lives and we think really hard about our lives. And so it takes some thinking right now. It's going to take some thinking. Do I know the difference in my life between what is temporary and what is permanent? Now, the things that are temporary, they're not bad in and of themselves. We're talking about spiritual gifts here and using your gifts. But what Paul is getting at is this: don't boast in it because you're missing the attitude that's most important, the motive of the heart. Your spiritual maturity is not based on your ability to use your spiritual gifts. Your spiritual maturity is based on the love that is in your heart, or is a mark of your spiritual maturity, the love that is in your heart. I think we miss this so often, loved ones. And I think in the church of Jesus Christ, we miss this. And we're not a perfect church, and I think probably in our church, we miss this from time to time. What do we bank our spiritual maturity on? Our ability to give a lot of money, our ability to do a lot of ministry, our ability to have a big budget, our ability one day to have a building. What are all these things? These things are just temporary things. Do we know the difference between those things and the heart of love that we pray infuses all the other things that we do? The heart, when you serve in your particular ministry, are you more excited about doing something with your gift, or is there a love in your heart? Love will endure. Everything else we do will pass away. Love will endure. So if we want to give and gather and go with authentic impact this Christmas, we must know the difference between the temporary and the permanent. And secondly, I want to show you this. If we want to give, gather, and go with authentic impact this Christmas, we must know the difference between, write this down, a spiritual infancy and spiritual maturity. Spiritual infancy and spiritual maturity. Notice verse 11. Paul starts to say this. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. On the screen for you, Anthony Thistleton wrote this. I love what he said. He wrote, spirituality in Corinth, the whole epistle suggests, was regarded less as Christ-like holiness involving transformation of life than as receiving, listen, toy-like gifts that provided status or pleasure in the playroom. Wow. I just say wow to that because I wonder how much of our activity in the church is just indicative of spiritual infancy. Or how much of what we do and what we focus on is just, all it shows really is that we are like spiritual infants sitting in a playroom. We want to use our gifts. We want to look good. We want to appear resourceful. We want to do what we want to do. But we're just like little babies in a toy room playing. Because we're missing the mark of spiritual maturity. Notice the contrast by way of analogy. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But in contrast, when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Keeping in mind the wider theme of the chapter, Paul's indicting the Corinthians with being spiritually immature, even though they boast in their spiritual maturity and their spiritual gifts. But Paul is actually telling them they are spiritually immature, and he's already mentioned this earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, you guys are like babies. You can't have solid food. You need milk. You're like babies. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 3. But here's the scary thing. They don't know the difference. They're sitting in the playroom playing with toys, but they think they're doing adult activities. They boast, like they're sitting playing with, like, I don't know. When I was a kid, I played with G.I. Joes. That's the first thing that came to my mind. That's probably obsolete right now. I don't know. Paw Patrol, I don't know. I'm looking at my kids. I'm losing sight now of the toys they play with. But it's like you're sitting there playing with toys, and in your heart you think I'm so much of an adult right now. It's ridiculous, right? And that's what Paul is trying to highlight and show this contrast. I don't want us to miss the critical truth that's found here in 1 Corinthians 13. We already read that 1 Corinthians 1 to 3 announces almost shockingly that if we don't have love, nothing we do will matter. Eloquence won't matter. Preaching won't matter. Unwavering faith won't matter. Radical generosity won't matter. Benevolence won't matter. Even, he says in verse 3, a martyrdom won't even matter if you don't have love. And the eye-opening truth for all of us is this. To be a spiritual infant is to regard mere outward behavior and external activity as the be-all and end-all of spiritual maturity. But true spiritual maturity never emphasizes what is temporal. Rather, it elevates above the fog and haziness of what is temporal to see with clarity and maturity the primacy of the permanent. Love never ends. So it's just you, and we can see this in our lives all the time, but you hear about, you know, pastors caught in scandals and they're standing there in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and they boast in the size of their church, and they boast in the budget, and they boast in the building, they boast in their gifting, they boast in their blogs, they boast in everything, and all of a sudden you realize that was a spiritual infant because they had no love for anybody. In fact, they only loved themselves, and they loved themselves all the way to scandal. This is sobering for us. That one day when we see Jesus face to face, one day how many churches will be exposed for what they really were? Now they had a lot of people, they had a lot of facility, they had a lot of resources, they had a lot of gifting. But they're exposed for what they really were because there was no love in their heart. Let me dare to say that we should care supremely about this, that everything we do is done with love. That's spiritual maturity. Let me say that we should pray that we could see the difference in our own lives, in our church, between the activities we're engaged in, that we take pride in, that are in fact displaying our spiritual infancy, rather than focusing on the inward, internal attitudes of the heart that is actually indicative of spiritual maturity. It's love. Love never ends. And so we pray that we would be a church of love that identifies the difference between what is temporal and what is permanent, but identifies the difference on a day-to-day basis between a spiritual infancy and spiritual maturity. Could it be that our activities, even at Christmas time, the ones that we regard as most fruitful, are actually showing that we're babies if they're engaged without love? I want you to think about that. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Here Paul uses yet another metaphor. Corinth produced and exported a high-quality bronze mirror. They were good at that. It was a high-quality mirror in that time. The analogy drives home the point even further. As good as the quality of the mirrors were in Corinth, they reflected the reflected image paled in comparison to a face-to-face encounter. And in the same way, all the knowledge that the Corinthians boasted in paled in comparison to the knowledge we will one day obtain when we see Jesus Christ face to face. And Thistleton said this on the screen: face to face understanding outshines any other way of seeking to know. But if the face is the face of God shining upon his people, God's saving, intimate, self-revealed presence becomes transforming as well as revelatory. To become one with God in face-to-face encounter is to receive a drenching in the divine love that nurtures unqualified, loving reciprocity. On the day we see Jesus Christ, that future, eternal, imminent day, we will be made like him. 1 John 3, verse 2. The process of sanctification will be complete. Spiritual maturity will be attained. And on that day, you won't boast in your gifts or your knowledge that you possessed on earth. You'll realize just how incomplete all those things were. Instead, we will be on that day overcome by his knowledge of us, his love for us, and we will spend eternity expressing and reciprocating that great love for him. Love never ends. This is spiritual maturity. Looking to that day, being filled day by day with what we will experience more fully on that day. It's love. It's love. Do you want to be filled with love? Do you spend most of your time thinking about how to use your skills and your abilities? Do you spend most of your time thinking about how good that thing you did was? Do you spend most of your time thinking about, man, the church really needs me. If I wasn't here, they'd really go down. Do you spend most of your time thinking that way, along those lines? Maybe not exactly like that. If we do, then what we are is babies in a toy room, toying with the temporal, playing with our gifts. Or how much time do we spend in a room by ourselves where nobody's around, early in the morning when nobody's awake and nobody has to know, and your eyes are filled with tears? Your eyes are filled with tears because there's people you love that don't know Jesus. Or you feel compelled to give more to Christ because you love him so much, because you're compelled by all that he's done for you, and you think to yourself, all that I have, this life, this house, this bank account, these cars, all that I have, it's nothing, it's useless, and your eyes fill with tears, and you think, I want to give everything that I have. Because you've seen and you've tasted the love of the incarnate Son of God. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He loves us. He shows us his love. He came to us at Christmas, humbled himself to show us what love is. And that we would be filled with that love is our greatest desire, I pray. Verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Another profound, profound statement. The big three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. I'm going to end with this quote. Thistleton said it so good, I couldn't say it better. One more quote from him. He says, since hope vanishes when what we hope for comes firmly into view, and since faith, at least in some of its various meanings, stands in contrast to sight, at the very least, even if faith and hope survive forever, these will assume different forms. Listen, love is the future eternal light shining in the present. It therefore needs no change of form. The pastor and theologian may be out of a job at the end time, but the one who learns to love has cultivated habits of mind and attitudes that will never become redundant or obsolete. For love is grounded in the very nature of God. Oh, church, I hope and I pray and I trust that all of us in this room want the same thing. The love that never ends, the love that goes on for eternity, the love that God fills us with through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the love that we're filled with to extend to others, that love that will go on when we see Jesus face to face, that love that will be even perfected and reciprocated towards the supremely loving Savior. There's a day coming, loved ones, all of your gifts and talents and money and resources and cars and ambitions and all of that is going to be thrown in the garbage, but there's a day where you and I will be before our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you know what the only thing you're going to want to do is? You're going to want to articulate and demonstrate and express love to this Savior, casting down your crowns before him, worshiping him, honoring him perfectly, adoring him perfectly. Now, Paul says, church, don't get caught up in things that don't matter. The temporary stuff, you got to do it. You got to do it, but don't bank your spiritual maturity on it. The spiritually mature are those who love. because love never ends. I want us to pray right now, and I want you to pray with me. And we're going to continue, and we're going to pray tonight together, and I pray you all join me. Let's pray that the Lord would fill us with that love. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with great love. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that senior's lunch that we're going to engage in will be full of love. I pray that the over 40 people that are signed up to serve there will be captured by love. Lord, I pray for our Christmas offering as well as time is running out, as we get towards Christmas and the end of the month. Lord, I pray that our activities, Lord, our giving would be filled with love. That you would see in us, in this church, spiritually mature believers. And those of us that are spiritual infants would grow out of the focus on the temporal. So God, lead us, we pray, as we sing, as we worship, as we pray tonight, as we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's